thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while tonight. We'll try our best to drive you crazy. We're going to be joined about an hour by Shannon Moore, radio talk show host from KUDO 1080 AM in Anchorage, Alaska. You probably have seen her on the Keith Olbermann program, Countdown. But it has to do with Sarah Palin testifying in Tennessee last week in the case where her email account was hacked by some kid who was apparently doing a practical joke. And Shannon has some information about the time that Sarah Palin hacked an email account. So we'll find out a little bit more about that later on tonight. Is that all we have tonight? That's the guest? Okay. All right. The Senate Republicans are at it again. They had a couple of weeks where they didn't have to say no, 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 no. So they got to say it again today by a vote of 57-41. Senate Republicans today, with the assistance from former Democrat Ben Nelson of Nebraska. I say former because, you know, this guy is about as much of a Democrat as, well, as I am, I guess. But he joined the Republicans, and the vote was 57-41 in favor of talking about it. What the vote was about was to try to cut off a filibuster, and they needed 60 votes. So what we've got here is government by the minority, and as long as the Republicans have at least 40 votes or 41 votes, they'll continue to use the little nuclear option. Remember all that talk about the nuclear option when the Republicans were saying, how dare the Democrats choose a nuclear option or whatever they go. So here we go again. Same bull crap, same lies, same nonsense as we had about health insurance. Only this time, what the Republicans are saying essentially is they want Wall Street to screw the American public again and again and again. Just keep doing it. I hate these bastards. I hate them. Republicans are once again siding with Wall Street interests, leaving the United States vulnerable, all of us vulnerable, to another financial collapse. And the reason they do that is because they are rat bastards down to the core. They really are. Republicans. Anyone who votes Republican deserves all the hell that comes their way. And a lot of hell comes and will continue to come. President Obama had a statement about this. He said, I'm deeply disappointed that Senate Republicans voted in a block against allowing a public debate, on Wall Street reform to begin. Some of these senators may believe that this obstruction is a good political strategy, and others may see delay as an opportunity to take this debate behind closed doors where financial industry lobbyists can water down reform or kill it altogether. But the American people can't afford that. A lack of consumer protections and a lack of accountability on Wall Street nearly brought our economy to its knees and helped cause the pain that has left millions of Americans without jobs and without homes. The reform that both parties have been working on for a year would prevent a crisis like this from happening again. And I urge the Senate to get back to work and put the interests of the country ahead of party. That's not going to happen with Republicans. Republicans don't give a damn about this country. They hate this country. They have for the past 50 years. Past 100 years. They want to do anything they can to destroy America. If that is not abundantly clear at this point, I don't know what it's going to take to get that point across. It's my understanding that another attempt may be made as soon as tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. I just wonder how the Tea Party morons feel about this, right? The Tea Party morons, who are really Republicans, trying to act all macho and tough out on the streets. Mark Perkel writes, it's going to be interesting to see how the Tea Party crowd responds to the Republican blocking the Democrats from stopping bank bailouts and fixing the problems that led to the collapse of the economy and the high unemployment deficit. Supposedly, the teabaggers are independent and are interested in issues. But when the Democrats give them what they want and the Republicans block it, will they support the Democrats? The quick answer is no, because the teabaggers are not They're not anything. They're not in favor of or against anything. They don't like Negroes. That's all. They are racist. That's the only issue in the mind of a bagger. They don't like black people. Never have, never will, would like them all to go away. And as long as Barack Obama is in the White House, these rat bastards will do everything they can to thwart his presidency. God. You know, in a capitalist economy like the one we live in, anything that can be sold will be sold. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Capitalism has no restrictions, nothing, where it concerns ethical behavior, ethical conduct, moral conduct, proper conduct, whether that conduct is, whether it's conduct within the economic realm, the personal realm, the religious realm, the education realm. There's no such thing in capitalism as ethical behavior. And the reason for it is all based on profit. Give me profit. Maximize profit. If people suffer, if children suffer, if nations suffer, if morality suffers, if ethics go down the toilet, it doesn't matter to capitalism. It never has, it never will. To argue otherwise is to be a moron. Capitalism is about one thing only, capital. Hence the name, capitalism. And it's about maximizing profit, period. So in that light, the Supreme Court has decided to hear a case deciding whether California and six other states can forbid the sale to minors of video games that show images of human beings being maimed, killed, or sexually assaulted. Right? The court agreed today to decide whether or not it's constitutional to allow that. Now, whether it's constitutional to ban it. California's law, like the other states, has been blocked based on a free speech challenge lodged by the video gaming industry. Now, here we go. Free speech. Free speech has its limits. The video gaming industry is not interested in free speech, for God's sake. What they're interested in is profit. If it's violence or maiming or killing or boiling people alive or burning them or ripping their heads off or eviscerating them or smashing them, whether it's men, women, or children, the more gore the better, then the video, and if that can be sold, which it can, then the video gaming industry, by God, wants their right as a corporate citizen, equal to you and me, thanks to the Supreme Court. They want their right to make as much profit as they can. Ethics? Screw ethics. Doing what's right? Get real. Proper behavior? Oh, please. What are you, some kind of a wimp? So, it came as a surprise that the Supreme Court would hear this, because the move came less than a week after the justices, in an 8-1 ruling, struck down a federal law on free speech grounds that made it a crime to sell videos of illegal acts of animal cruelty. Remember that last week? The Supreme Court says, oh, you can show animals ripping each other to pieces. We don't care. This is America.
Better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. The case that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the ban. Yeah, it was a ban which was signed into law by the governor there, Schwarzenegger, in 2005. It would impose a civil fine on retailers who sell or rent to minors video games that were labeled as violent. But before it could go into effect, the Entertainment Software Association and the Video Software Dealers Association went to court, and a federal judge blocked the law from being enforced. And last year, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the ban was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court will hear it this fall. But to me, this is another example of what happens in a society based on this horror that is predatory capitalism. Anything goes. It doesn't matter. You want offshore drilling? Okay, we'll give you offshore drilling. And when you have these disasters like we have right now, with thousands of gallons a day being poured into the Gulf and into the Gulf Stream, does the Gulf Stream go that way? Trying to remember. But when you have that happen and everybody says, oh my God, oh my God. No. That's part of the price that is paid. The oil companies don't pay that. Exxon, in Alaska, the Exxon Valdez disaster, Exxon never paid a dime. Oh, they paid off a few commercial fishermen. But Exxon has delayed. How long has that been now? Are we up to 15 years or has it been 16, 17? How many years has it been since the Exxon Valdez disaster? And Exxon Mobil, or whoever owns them now, they've never paid the fines that were levied against them. They've never done anything, and they never will. So as far as predatory capitalism ever caring about people, about the environment, about honor, justice, ethics, fair play, balance, truth, forget it. As long as we have capitalism, we have a system that is predatory. And if you're one of the small fish, boom, you get eaten. A bunch of the baggers got together with Glenn Beck in Texas out there. And I believe it was in Tyler, Texas. Tyler, Texas. Hey, oh, yeah. Glenn Beck. I think Glenn Beck is... I hope Glenn Beck continues to do exactly what he's doing. He's getting crazier and crazier. Next, he's going to go on his program, and he's going to tell his listeners that he is really the Messiah. I realize there's some Latino out there right now who's claiming he's the Messiah. But Beck is going to say he is Jesus Christ. What happened, he had another one of his... gatherings of people that still need to be toilet trained, and it was at a rally called Taking Back America from the Negro. Texas State Representative Leo Berman said, according to the Tyler Morning newspaper, he said, I believe that Barack Obama is God's punishment on us today. Yeah, amen. But in 2012, we're going to make Obama a one-term president. Now, that's what... So what this Berman is saying is he's stronger than his degenerate, goofy God. That's God's curse. But we're going to remove the curse. Because we're stronger than God. Mr. Berman, let me tell you something. When finally you are harvested and sent to hell, which you surely will be, because hell for you people does exist. It exists in your own psychosis. When that finally happens, God is going to pinch your head off and throw it to the demons to be used as a soccer ball, too. Anyway, according to what I have here, Berman's extreme words were accompanied by other comments from conservative figures, including Representative Louis Gohmert. Boo, 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 boo. Now, he's big time. At the height of the healthcare craziness last month, This is the guy that said demons had invaded Washington. Demons had invaded Washington. And we're causing Democrats to mislead voters about the merits of the health insurance reform bill. Demons. You thought it was just crazy Catholics that said demons were wandering around in the Vatican? No, no, no. Louis. No, not Louis. Yeah, Louis Gohmert. Hey, Louis, them demons still out there? Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're still out there. Now the demons are trying to get financial reform. There's demons. So then Glenn Beck got up and said, do you believe this is God's land? Do you believe our Constitution was divinely inspired? Why do you believe these things? If God is with us, who can possibly stand against us? The answer is no one. You see, this is what the crazy Muslim fundamentalists, they say the same thing. Glenn Beck is crazy. And I can't wait until he finally loses it and goes on his TV program. Before the hour.
What am I hearing?
Oh my goodness, are we okay now? All right, getting some kind of double triple feedback, just a regular night on the Malloy program. A couple of you have emailed me. The Exxon Valdez oil spill happened in 89, so it's been 21 years. Todd in Arizona says the fine had been reduced twice, with the last one decided by the John Roberts Supreme Court last year. It was reduced from $2.5 billion to $500 million. Not bad if you consider Exxon's quarterly profits are in the $15 billion range. I have to go now. I have to keep looking for my birth certificate. Todd in Arizona. So they reduced it by 75%. Is that right? No, by 80%. See, that's how it works in a capitalist society. The people are totally immaterial, superfluous. Their rules, their laws, their lives, all of it is meaningless in a capitalist society. Capitalism is about the preservation, development, care of capital. That's all, capital. And regarding the video games, Jason in Newcastle, Washington writes, Mike, video games are perfect indoctrination for military service. Blood, gore, rape, and other forms of violence are what the U.S. military and its mercenary surrogates are all about. Reactionaries like the Supreme Court do not want them prohibited any more than they want young people to have decent job opportunities. Can you imagine what that might do to recruiting numbers? Jason in Newcastle. Well, that's true. That's very true. So, yeah, the Supreme Court is going to rule that that sort of stuff is legal. You know that. 5,000 people waited in line and registered for treatment at a free, this is from Los Angeles, for treatment at a free health clinic opening this week at the LA Sports Arena. Organizers say 5,599 patients claimed their non-transferable wristbands on Sunday, yesterday, and can return for treatment for 7 days starting Tuesday, when dentists, doctors, and other healthcare professionals will be at the arena. The clinic is run by Remote Area Medical, a Tennessee-based nonprofit group. An 8-day clinic at the Forum in Inglewood, California, last August drew more than 6,000 patients, but thousands more had to be turned away. Kate in the desert just got back from doing some work at the remote area medical in Tennessee. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so. And then there's this. Two lawmakers in Illinois, both Democrats, say violence has become so rampant in Chicago that the National Guard should be called in to help. These two Democrats made a public plea to Governor Pat Quinn yesterday to send in the troops. The request comes amid a recent surge in violent crime, including a night last week that saw 7 people killed and 18 wounded, mostly by gunfire. Chicago has had 113 homicides so far this year. The Chicago police superintendent says he appreciates lawmakers' frustration and willingness to help, but doubts the National Guard is the best answer. And I heard later on this afternoon that the governor, Pat Quinn, said the National Guard would not be called out unless there was some move made by Richie Daley, the mayor of Chicago, to ask for help. And the only time that would happen is if the Democratic convention is held there in 2012, like his dad did. Another Glenn Beck listener was busted in at a North Carolina airport, the Asheville, North Carolina Regional Airport. The guy's name is Joseph Sean McVeigh. Spells it differently. Joseph Sean McVeigh. He is from Coshocton, Ohio, which is, if I remember, Coshocton is on the Ohio River, I believe. He's charged with going armed in terror of the public. I don't know what that means. It's a misdemeanor. He was spotted at a North Carolina airport parking lot just after Air Force One departed Sunday. And he told an officer he wanted to see the president. He had a car equipped with police gear, including a siren and flashing lights. Obama was spent the weekend in Asheville. He was headed to that memorial service for the 29 West Virginia coal miners killed in the explosion. About 2 p.m. Sunday, airport police saw McVeigh get out of a maroon car with Ohio plates, and he had a sidearm. Both airport police and the Secret Service questioned him. He was taken into custody. He was nowhere near the president's plane, which had already departed, but his car was equipped with a clear LED law enforcement-style strobe lights in the front and rear dash, mounted digital camera, 4 large antennas on the trunk lid, siren box, yada, 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 and he's not in law enforcement. When an officer asked him what he was doing, McVeigh told the officer he heard the president was in town, wanted to see him. He's being held in the county jail, $100,000 bond. Another Glenn Beck listener who couldn't make it all the way to the rally down in Texas and decided to to save America, you know, because Obama is God's curse on Texas, and Glenn Beck was in Texas. So add one and one, and you get 666. It's very simple. So this guy named, oddly enough, McVeigh, decided to go to Asheville, North Carolina, and murder President Obama because that's what Glenn Beck is telling his listeners to do. Glenn Beck is telling his listeners to kill the President of the United States. No? You don't think that if you listen to Glenn Beck day in and day out, and you're already a little bit crazy because you're a teabagger and your mind is turning into sawdust, but because you've got Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and all these people, until eventually, I'll do it! I'll do it! So another Beck listener makes a unsuccessful attempt to get close to the president for the purpose of killing him. Glenn Beck is instructing, get this down, Get this down. Come on. Get it down. Get it right. Glenn Beck is using his radio program to instruct people to kill the president. Period. Get it down. Come on. I want to see that all over the right-wing websites tomorrow. I want to see that. I want you little trolls out there to put it all over. Thank you. National Guard is not the answer. Oh, yeah. This is a letter to the editor, then, to the Chicago Tribune. From Reverend Michael Flegger, pastor of the faith community of St. Sabinia in Chicago. And the Reverend wrote, yesterday two state reps held a press conference to ask Governor Quinn and Mayor Daley to call the National Guard into Chicago. I respect these men, understand their frustration. Just last Friday I did a funeral for another 22-year-old who had been gunned down. However, I do not believe the National Guard is the answer. The National Guard comes as a last resort when all else has been tried. That hasn't happened yet. What we need is parents and adults to rise up and take control of our homes, our blocks, and our community. We cannot ask the National Guard to do what we have failed to do. Secondly, the National Guard is trained to kill, and their mission is suppression. Chicago, wake up, get up, stand up, take charge of your city. Yes, we need the national government to give us funds for programs, jobs for our youth, and resources to strengthen our community. But we do not need them to patrol the streets that we've ignored. That's our job. Before we call the National Guard, the Reverend Satt writes, let us do this. Call parents to take charge of their homes and children. Call neighbors to come out and take authority of their blocks. Call block clubs to reorganize and start holding their meetings outdoors. Call on churches to come out and get involved in the community. Call young people to stand up and talk to their peers about stopping violence. Call on Washington to send the promised resources, summer jobs, money for programs, and positive alternatives for youth. Teach conflict resolution in schools. Ban assault weapons and title guns the same way you title cars. Call on state legislators to fix school funding. Stop cutting human resources and youth programs to fix the budget. Call education systems to teach conflict resolutions. Call police districts to hold community meetings and strengthen police and community relationship. Yes, the violence is out of control. But there are a lot of calls we need to make before we call the National Guard. Reverend Michael Flegger, pastor, Faith Community, St. Sabinia, Chicago. You're absolutely right, Reverend. But you're also doing what a lot of us do about this issue. You're stating the case clearly. But ban assault weapons, title guns like we title cars, fix the schools, stop cutting human resources. Never. This is the United States of America. We are a dying empire. We're only interested in two things, that our predatory capitalists make a lot of money and our military keeps killing. Period.
Flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Greg in Bethesda writes in, he's got a quote here from Al Capone. Quote, capitalism is the legitimate racket of the ruling class. Really? Is that a Capone? I wouldn't be surprised. All right. A missive from Prairie 2 here. And coming up after the break, Shannon Moore of KUDO in Anchorage, Alaska, is going to join us. The subject line, medium fish should be nervous. Prairie 2 writes, shares of Goldman Sachs dropped another $5 today as the third shareholder lawsuit was filed in federal court. As well as accusing Goldman's management of breaching fiduciary duties by committing fraud in the sale of the worst possible of bad mortgages, and then betting the same mortgages that Goldman no longer owned would fail. This new suit also accuses CEO Lloyd Blankfein of concealing from shareholders the notification from the SEC of its civil case last July. Executives of Goldman seem oblivious that they've done anything wrong. Of course not. Several were quoted repeating the talking point that the fact that they made money shorting these bad investments proved that they were pretty smart. They claimed that they haven't lost any investors since the SEC revelation, and it appears they haven't. Part of that is the investors are locked in for the near future and can't just leave. Also, if you still have your money, you might think they're doing a good job. On the other hand, locked in a bank with robbers and taking their side is where the term Stockholm Syndrome comes from. Emails have emerged in evidence of Goldman Sachs rolling in profits during the housing collapse when they had claimed under oath that they had lost money. Their profits came from derivatives or bets against or short selling the very mortgage-backed securities they had been selling to their customers. Their response is that they were being victimized by the Senate committee that released the messages because they are, quote, cherry-picking. Only 4 out of thousands of emails, if you only cherry-pick those pictures of me in the bank brandishing a gun while holding the bag with a dollar sign on it, then of course I look like a criminal. They did ultimately take mortgage losses, but only after the good mortgages started going bad, too. They didn't think to short those. It never occurred to them that wrecking the economy might be bad for the business in the long run. But they got their bonuses anyway, so who cares? The Republicans have filibustered the Wall Street Reform Bill today, saying if there is no compromise, then they will introduce their own bill. The Senate is 59% Democrats. So that whole democracy thing seems to be lost on Republicans. They waved around an alternate to Obama's budget, but it had no numbers. Their alternative to health insurance reform had no federal regulations and made it possible to avoid all state regulations while preserving their antitrust exemption to encourage competition, of course. It appears, after all, in a free market, the small fish should expect to be eaten and medium fish should be nervous. PrairieNumeral2.com, which is pretty much what we were talking about earlier in the program. Capitalism wants you dead, but only if it can make money on your death. It wants you alive, but only if it can make money while you're alive, selling you garbage, crap, lies, deceit, murder, mayhem, wars, bombs, destruction, lies, phoniness, falsity, dishonor. Did I leave anything out? Oh, and in case you're wondering what Billy Graham was doing in Asheville, North Carolina, he made a side trip over to Mount Airy, or near Mount Airy, which is the Billy Graham family complex or compound. Obama, according to the Associated Press, made a short drive to Montreat, which I guess is near Mount Airy, from Asheville, where he spent the weekend to see the 91-year-old Graham and his son Franklin. During the visit, which lasted about 30 minutes, Mr. Obama had a private prayer and conversation with Billy Graham. White House spokesman Bill Burton said he is extraordinarily gratified that he took the time to meet with him. I guess the first he is Obama, the next he is Billy Graham, and the him is Obama. Mr. Burton, the White House spokesman, said, described Billy Graham as, quote, an important spiritual leader to past presidents and a real treasure to our country. And the president appreciates the opportunity to visit him at his home, end quote. Oh, God. Why would Barack Obama be meeting with people who are apostles of the most hate-filled rhetoric right now in a world that is just chock-a-block with hate-filled rhetoric. I don't know. I guess that's to undercut the Republican crazy teabag psychopaths. I don't know. It just really bothers me. Why would the president, any president, go see this old coot up in the mountains in North Carolina who is telling everybody that essentially don't do anything because Jesus is coming back and you're going to rapture up to heaven and the earth is going to be destroyed and Satan is going to walk and fires of hell and damnation are coming. Hey, hiya, hiya. Prayer breakfast. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Did you know that
Seekers, it is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. We are going to be joined here in about 20 seconds by Shannon Moore. You probably have seen her as a guest on either Rachel's program, Rachel Maddow, or Keith Olbermann's show. Write this down. Eventually, Shannon Moore is going to have her own television program, I have a feeling. With MSNBC or somebody, but right now she works as a talk show host at KUDO 1080 AM in Anchorage, Alaska, and she joins us now. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The reason we wanted to get you on tonight, last week, Sarah Palin was down here in our neck of the woods up in Tennessee where she testified for the prosecution in this case against the college student, I think he is, whose father is a Democratic legislator in the state of Tennessee. And the boy had hacked her email and gotten into it. And the next thing you know, all hell's breaking loose and Sarah's all upset. And, you know, when I read the story, and the kid is facing 50 years. And when I read the story, I thought, well, you know, that's a no-no. You shouldn't hack somebody's email. But then I found out that Sarah Palin had done the same thing in Alaska. And so I thought I would call the only expert I know in Alaska. That would be you. Is that true?
Yeah, she did. I know it's interesting, isn't it? 50 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is, isn't
and,
it?
And, you know, he wasn't exactly a rocket scientist or a computer scientist doing this hack-in.
Mm-hmm.
Not like what happened with the scientist emails that became ClimateGate, which, of course, she wasn't upset about.
Right.
The server of a university being hacked.
Right.
Never heard her come out about those emails being hacked, although, you know, she did have her rapture policy,
yes,
enforced by that. So,
yes.
when she was working as a commissioner here in the state of Alaska under Frank Murkowski, she was working with a guy named Randy Rudrick, who's now he's still the Republican Party boss,
mm-hmm.
And he had been doing some political business on the state computer there, and she hacked it. She went in and she. There were a couple of other people who were really interested in having her snoop around in there, but you know, certainly not the governor or the attorney general or the chief of staff, Jim Clark. None of them, but there were a couple of people that were really wanting her to do that, and she did. In fact, she explained to the ADN reporter at the time that she was hacking uncomfortably into his computer.
Well, is she facing 50 years?
No, she didn't face any time. I mean, the guy was just he's still just a remarkably, he's sort of the Karl Rove of Alaska. And people
the guy she was hacking?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is like two cats in a sack, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and they detest each other.
Right.
But it's that Republican on Republican violence that's like porn to people like you and I.
Oh my God. I love that. Republican on Republican violence. Is there anything better?
No. No, so, you know, so she went in and exposed him.
Right.
And he lost his job, and then people were upset at her for doing that.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously it was his party in power at the time. So then she quit over that. She felt uncomfortable and quit.
She quit as a commissioner?
Yes, as part of the series of Iquitarod races.
Oh, my God. I mean, she's quit. Apparently, she's quit more than just being governor. She's quit other things, too.
I think she quit five universities before she got done with one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, quitters need love, too. You know, we can't just be totally trashing quitters, right?
Yeah, which is why smoking's so difficult for many of us.
That's very true.
No, and so she had gone in, and she felt justified. In fact, when she was interviewed later, she said she felt vindicated by what she had found and exposed about him. So, you know, because she was saying that he was dishonest, and here she went and found the information, and she exposed it, and she felt vindicated in doing that, and was never apologetic for going in and getting those.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't, I mean, certainly I wasn't demanding an apology. I thought the guy needed to go, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just curious to me that I really would have liked to have seen her question on the stand and say, do you think there's ever a time when someone goes into an email where they feel justified, you know,
right,
politically
right.
justified? And, you know, when her accounts were, quote unquote, hacked, you know, it's kind of like if you leave the keys in the car door and walk away and consider that security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, she had a security question that was one of the most obvious things that there is. It was on, I think the answer was on Wiki. Where did you meet your husband? I think Wiki actually listed Wasilla High School. So any, you know, and thank God that it wasn't Exxon or BP or ConocoPhillips or the big mining companies that decided they'd go hack it, because they would have had all kinds of state secrets because she was using that for state business.
Well, I'm always on the lookout for Republican hypocrisy, or I used to be, and then I realized that'd be like on the lookout for air. So,
it's like the gravity monitor.
Right,
it's still working.
Right. Wearing a gravity monitor would be the same as wearing a Republican hypocrisy monitor. But this one was especially intriguing to me because, you know, I think this kid ought to be disciplined, but I think what probably should be done, he ought to be forced to write 500 times on a chalkboard someplace, I will not hack Sarah Palin's email anymore. I will, you know, just
on Glenn Beck's chalkboard.
There you go. Just write that 500 times, and I don't know, fine him $50 and send him home.
Well, it's really appears to be this sort of political grandstanding on the part of the people there. I don't know why they've decided to prosecute this, if they just wanted the star factor of Sarah Palin or to have this big case there in front of everyone in the media circus. But, you know, anybody else, I don't think, would have had this much attention, or certainly looking at 50 years.
What is the ripple or the attitude or whatever of Sarah Palin in Alaska as she, you know, travels about the United States doing such wonderful things for the baggers and the Republican Party or whoever it is that she's trying to help? What's the attitude back home?
Well, you know, at one point she really had a huge amount of popularity here, and part of it came from the fact that she had taken down this head of the party through getting into his emails. You know, that she wasn't, and he's one of the good old boys with Frank Murkowski, and
right.
and this group called the Corrupt Bastards Club, and I know you like that word, bastards, but I'm not just
it.
Using, I'm not just calling them that. That's what they called themselves. They
yeah.
had, you know, things embroidered with CBC Club written on it.
Oh
and they
God.
Were, there are quite a few of them in jail right now for taking bribes or giving bribes from the oil companies to make legislation that was favorable to the oil companies.
Right.
So we were going through that. The FBI was raiding Ted Stevens' house and
right.
all of these legislators. So, you know, Sarah was kind of on the pushing edge of that. She wasn't part of any of those investigations. But, you know, the fact that she had hacked Randy Rudrick and got him booted out was a pretty good thing.
Uh-huh.
But the more she was exposed, the more that she exposed herself, I should say, her popularity just kept going down. And she was doing things that the Republican Party hated. They called her a socialist here.
Yeah!
For things like deciding to do a one-time energy rebate with, it was over $700 million that
right.
she gave back in checks and all these sort of things where she could have done actual energy projects. She didn't. People went to Best Buy and bought flat screens. So, you know, at this point, the people that, you know, walked door to door for her to get her elected as governor when it was 20 below,
yeah.
they were really put to a test. There were families that didn't talk to each other anymore,
mm-hmm.
Ripped up over this Sarah Palin deal. I know of at least one divorce over it.
Oh, my God.
So there were those sort of people that were really upset when she quit.
Uh-huh.
Because she just cut the limb off behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, what? She just quit. And so they were hanging out there. There was already a huge group of people that were really tired of the shenanigans and the fact that she didn't really come off the campaign trail ever.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey, Shannon,
I think people are over it.
Can you hold? Yeah, can I hold you over this commercial
sure.
break and we'll chat just a little bit more, okay?
Sure.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll come back. We're talking with Shannon Moore of KUDO in Anchorage, Alaska, and a frequent guest on MSNBC. Stay with us.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. We're talking with Shannon Moore, who is a radio talk show host at KUDO 1080 AM in Anchorage, Alaska, and well known to people who watch MSNBC. Frequent guest on both Rachel and Keith Olbermann's program. Shannon. The former governor, I'm trying to think what to call her.
I think we call her the half-term governor, or there are several things people call her. Governor Grifter, I think, is really popular
Governor
right
Grifter, the quit bull. Governor Grifter, I like that. She's making an awful lot of money down here in what y'all call the lower 48. How do folks feel about that? She's really struck her rich. She's soon going to have as much money as Glenn Beck.
Yeah, well, you know, she was getting as much as she could out of us.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of the thing that is offensive to people is that we have a law here that if you're the governor, you can't have another job.
Mm-hmm.
Our state legislature meets for 90 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have other jobs. You know, they're lawyers or teachers or whatever it is they do.
Right.
And so we have a law that the governor can't because the governor's 24/7. So
mm-hmm.
When she got her book deal, there were some complaints that went in. They were like, wait, you can't have another job and you're going to have to disclose how much you get paid and
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to leave on a book tour. And it was, you know, and so she didn't want to let go of that money at all. And so she quit. And, you know, she had all these reasons, like that she was going to save the state money because of the ethics violations filed against her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she filed an ethics complaint on herself, and it was over half of what all of the ethics complaints combined cost the state was the one she filed on herself trying to get out of the Troopergate investigation. So, you know, we knew that wasn't true. We were trying to figure out what the truth was. And really, it was just as simple as she wanted the money. And
yeah.
So when she said things like, I'm going to help the state of Alaska from the outside of Alaska, and I don't need a title to do it, we really, in fact, that's kind of the joke. It's like, okay, so how is this helping Alaskans again?
Mm-hmm.
Interviewing LL Cool J in a pretend interview that didn't exist. How does that help us again?
Well, it reminds me of O.J. Simpson, who I guess is still looking for the people who really killed his wife and her friend. Remember, that's what he said. He would spend the rest of his life trying to find the real killers of the two people that were hacked to death by O.J. himself. But, you know, the thing about Sarah is that she really is inadvertently, I'm sure, but she is funny as hell. She's the kind of political character that you can't make up. And especially when she and McCain were running for the presidency and the vice presidency, it was just an absolute a comedy of errors day in and day out, except for one thing. She really does think that, you know, the rapture's coming and there are demons wandering the earth and, Obama was born in Kenya and, that she's really helping these candidates. My only hope is that she continues to make these appearances, that she continues to do her Facebook page, that she continues to be out there. And, I mean, what the hell? If she makes, $20-30 million this year, well, this is the United States. We believe in paying our clowns and fools and freaks and leaders.
Right.
So,
it's just money.
Yeah, it's just money.
You know, I interviewed her quite a few times,
uh-huh.
and she was never the extremist that people see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did things, and you know, I interviewed her once about an issue that had come up with a ballot. Mm-hmm. initiative, and she had come out and said how she was going to vote, and she was just going to take off her governor's hat, and I asked her about that wardrobe malfunction that
right.
you actually don't get to remove it.
Right.
And she laughed, and she's like, oh, Shannon, I'm not very PC. It was just like, okay, that's all you got? You know, it was crazy. And watching her, she's really ramped up. She's not someone that, you know, after watching her campaign for governor here, I didn't even recognize her. Never saw that sort of snark, never saw the nasty out there. I mean, she made cupcakes for Democrats' birthday parties in Juneau. I mean, she you just never saw this. And the crown jewels of her governorship, her oil legislation and all mm-hmm. of that was all super bipartisan. It took all of, you know, they got in project labor agreements,
mm-hmm.
things like that to get that to pass because the Republicans didn't want
mm-hmm.
her to have those things. So, you know, and watching her out there, she's so disconnected, and it's
so,
just money, and she's not going to be able to buy back what she's giving up for it.
So as in the case of so many people, the money has driven her completely over the edge.
Well, I think it's that, and I also think that it's really, you know, she has a remarkable amount of charisma.
Yeah.
And she also has a remarkable amount of narcissism, and that is really a perfect storm for who she is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
so,
listen,
you know, people chanting your name and carrying on like that.
That's scary.
It's you know, pretty addictive.
It's also funny. Shannon, thanks a lot for taking some time to talk to us. We'll chat again, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. Take care. Shannon Moore of KUDO in Anchorage, Alaska, 1080 on your dial if you happen to live up there. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Watch my booty shake like a fat lady's belly. My style so stank, I better bang, you gon' smell me. Oh, you smell me, smells like money. When I come running, wow, let's see, keep it coming. Wow, rock while I drum drumming. Destiny got the whole world freaking something, and we killing something, so bad.
Get your news unfiltered. Only. Get your news unfiltered. Only with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, it's time for Uncle Mike's Story Corner once again. Brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. Tonight's Uncle Mike's Story Corner by Tim Wise, writing for Alternet. And the title of Tim's story is, What If the Tea Party Were Black? Let's play a game, shall we? The name of the game is called Imagine. The way it's played is simple. We'll envision recent happenings in the news, but then change them up a bit. Instead of envisioning white people as the main actors in the scenes we'll conjure, the ones who are driving the action, we'll envision black folk or other people of color instead. The object of the game is to imagine the public reaction to the events or incidents if the main actors were of color rather than white. Whoever gains the most insight into the workings of race in America at the end of the game wins. So let's begin. Imagine that hundreds of black protesters were to descend upon Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, just a few miles from the Capitol and the White House, armed with AK-47s, assorted handguns, and ammunition. And imagine that some of these protesters, the black protesters, spoke of the need for political revolution and possibly even armed conflict in the event that laws they didn't like were enforced by the government. Would these protesters, these black protesters with guns, be seen as brave defenders of the Second Amendment? Or would they be viewed by most whites as a danger to the Republic? What if they were Arab Americans? Because after all, that's what happened recently when white gun enthusiasts descended upon the nation's capital, arms in hand, and verbally announced their readiness to make war on the country's political leaders if the need arose. Imagine that white members of Congress, while walking to work, were surrounded by thousands of angry black people, one of whom proceeded to spit on one of those members of Congress for not voting the way the black demonstrators desired. Would the protesters be seen as merely patriotic Americans voicing their opinions, or as an angry, potentially violent, and even insurrectionary mob? After all, this is what white Tea Party protesters did recently in Washington. Imagine that a rap artist were to say, in reference to a white president, he's a piece of blank, and I told him to suck on my machine gun. Because that's what rocker Ted Nugent said recently about President Obama. Imagine that a prominent mainstream black political commentator had long employed an overt bigot as executive director of his organization, and that this bigot regularly participated in black separatist conferences and once assaulted a white person while calling them a biracial slur. When that prominent black commentator and his sister, who also works for the organization, defended the bigot as a good guy who was misunderstood and going through a tough time in his life, would anyone accept their excuse-making? Would that commentator still have a place on a mainstream network? Because that's what happened in the real world when Pat Buchanan, employed as executive director of his group America's Cause, a blatant racist who did all these things, or at least their white equivalents, attending white separatist conferences and attacking a black woman while calling her the N-word. Imagine that a black radio host were to suggest that the only way to get promoted in the administration of a white president is by hating black people, or that a prominent white person had only endorsed a white presidential candidate as an act of racial bonding, or blamed a white president for a fight on a school bus in which a black kid was jumped by two white kids, or said that he wouldn't want to kill all conservatives, but rather would like to leave just enough living fossils, as he called them, so we will never forget what these people stood for. After all, these are things that Rush Limbaugh has said about Barack Obama's administration, Colin Powell's endorsement of Barack Obama, a fight on a school bus in Belleville, Illinois, in which two black kids beat up a white kid, and about liberals generally. Imagine that a black pastor formerly a member of the U.S. military, were to declare as part of his opposition to a white president's policies that he was ready to suit up, get my gun, go to Washington, and do what they trained me to do. This is, after all, what Pastor Stan Craig, a white guy, said recently at a Tea Party rally in Greenville, South Carolina. Imagine a black radio talk show host gleefully predicting a revolution by people of color if the government continues to be dominated by the rich white men who have been destroying the country. Or if said radio personality, black, were to call Christians or Jews non-humans. Or say that when it came to conservatives, the best solution would be to hang them high. And what would happen to any congressional representative who praised that commentator for speaking common sense and likened his hate talk to American values? After all, those are among the things said by radio host and best-selling author Michael Savage, predicting white revolution in the face of multiculturalism, or said by Michael Savage about Muslims and liberals, respectively. And it was Congressman Culbertson from Texas who praised Michael Savage in that way, despite his hateful rhetoric. Imagine a black political commentator suggesting that the only thing the guy who flew his plane into the Austin, Texas IRS building did wrong was not blowing up Fox News instead. This is, after all, what Ann Coulter said about Tim McVeigh when she noted that his only mistake was not blowing up the New York Times. Imagine that a popular black liberal website posted comments about the daughter of a white president, calling her typical redneck trash or a whore whose mother entertains her by making monkey sounds. After all, that's comparable to what conservatives posted about Malia Obama on FreeRepublic.com last year when they referred to this child as ghetto trash. Imagine that a black protester at a large political rally were walking around with signs calling for the lynching of their congressional enemies, because that's what white conservatives did last year in reference to Democratic Party leaders in Congress. In other words, imagine that even one-third of the anger and vitriol currently being hurled at President Obama by folks who are almost exclusively white were being aimed instead at a white president by people of color. How many whites viewing the anger, the hatred, the contempt for that white president would then wax eloquent about free speech and the glories of democracy? And how many would be calling for further crackdowns on thuggish behavior and investigations into the radical agendas of those same people of color? To ask any of these questions is to answer them. Protest is only seen as fundamentally American when those who have long had the luxury of seeing themselves as prototypically Americans engage in it. When the dangerous and dark other does so, however, it isn't viewed as normal or natural, let alone patriotic. Which is why Rush Limbaugh could say this past week that the Tea Parties are the first time since the Civil War that ordinary common Americans stood up for their rights. A statement that erases the normalcy and Americanness of blacks in the civil rights struggle, not to mention women in the fight for suffrage and equality, working people in their fight for better working conditions, and gay folk as they struggle to be treated as full and equal human beings. And this, my friend, is what white privilege is all about. The ability to threaten others, to engage in violent and incendiary rhetoric without consequences, to be viewed as patriotic and normal, no matter what you do, and never to be feared and despised as people of color would be if they tried to get away with half the crap that we do on a daily basis. Game over. Tim Wise in the Uncle Mike Story Corner tonight. What if the Tea Party were black? Uncle Mike Story Corner. Brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling and now Offshore Oil Reclamation. If if you've been following the disaster that occurred with the sinking, the environmental disaster. Of course, it was disaster. The people that have died there on the sinking of that oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. But if you have been following it, they're estimating now that this oil leak, at first BP, I believe it's BP that is the manager of that platform. At first they were saying there was no leak, but of course now that's changed. And what we're being told is that there was no leak at the beginning, but when the platform sank, it ripped whatever the pipes were keeping the oil contained off their moorings, and now the Gulf of Mexico is being flooded with oil. They're saying now that it should, what did I say, Kathy, about 7 days? 7 days before this monster oil slick starts polluting the beaches in the Florida Panhandle and the Mississippi, Louisiana Gulf Coast.
Practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It is indeed 10 before the hour. Here's what it says. Sunken oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, about 100 clicks off the coast of Louisiana, is leaking petroleum at the rate of about 1,000 barrels a day. As industry officials and U.S. Coast Guard struggle to contain it, there's concern the oil slick could reach the shore and damage the local ecology. Blah, 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 blah. U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Mary Landry says experts are working around the clock to solve the problem. The leaks resulted from that explosion on April 20th. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration estimates that it will take several days for the oil slick to reach sensitive coastal areas like the Chandelure Islands off Louisiana, the beaches near Pensacola, Florida. The coastal region is home to seabirds, dolphins, and marine life that provide livelihoods for many people in the commercial fishing and tourist industries. Yeah, we go down to that part of the Florida Panhandle, the Florida coast, and no matter where you stay down there, the part we go to, they have houses. There's no resorts. It's houses that you can rent, and any time during the day, all I have to do is look out into the Gulf and see porpoises. The sea life out there is incredible. If you want to go fishing, you stand on the shore and cast in. And I mean, on practically every cast, take some calls. The number here is 877-996-2556 if you would like to join in. Tom in Maryland, this is about the e-cig thing I was telling you about last Thursday and Friday. Mike, I really appreciate you bringing the topic of e-cigarettes up on your show. When you said that you were going to do a segment on smoking, I was fearful. I was afraid I would have to hear yet another diatribe about the dangers of smoking, why I should quit, yada, yada, yada. I was pleasantly surprised to hear that e-cigs could actually help me quit. I had heard of them before, but only in a few random newspaper scare pieces. None of those mentioned that e-cigs could help me quit. I'm 23 now. I've been smoking for almost 5 years. It's funny how quickly a pack a day will catch up with you. I want to quit now. I don't want to end up like the middle-aged elderly people I sell cigarettes to every day. I cannot imagine how they're still able to breathe. Getting to the point, after hearing both segments, I decided to go ahead and buy a starter kit through the link at Superbeans. It arrived today, just in time, as I was about to go out for a real cigarette. I got to say that these e-cigs kick ass, and I finally have hope that I will be able to kick the habit before I'm talking with a hole-in-the-throat microphone voice. Ooh. Anyway, I'll update you on my journey to quit with e-cigs. Tom in Maryland. And then Bob Alexander, who wrote the two-parter about those, wrote in, this is from Parade.com, article about Tom Petty. At age 59, rocker Tom Petty still finds happiness in making music. In front of Petty is a small bottle of Coke. His right hand twiddles with a thin brown stick. He says, "Got my electric cigarette here." He gives you a shot of nicotine and steam. The vapor is a substitute for smoke. "I'm using these to edge off of the smoking. It's just part of getting older, realizing you have to straighten up." End quote. Petty has reason to think about his health. In October, he turned 60, and that's all right by him. As he'd like to say, if you're not getting older, you're dead. And Bob says in other news, found an interesting tidbit this morning. The guy behind ASH, A-S-H, Action on Smoking and Health, is a heavy-duty super lawyer, John Branshoff. Not a nice guy. ASH's website has the most misinformation about e-cigs I've ever found in one place. Great big lies on every page. Whoppers. It turns out that ASH, Action on Smoking and Health, is a major recipient of money from Big Pharma, which stands to lose huge amounts of profits if smokers start turning to electronic cigarettes. Pfizer makes Nicorette and gave ASH $100,000. Big Tobacco has less to fear initially from e-cigs. They will eventually when e-cigs start biting into their profits. But the people who use e-cigs to quit smoking are digging into pharmaceutical company Pfizer's profits right now. Yeah, seriously, don't do Googles on this stuff. Go to Bob's website. Go to superbeans.com/quitting. That's all you have to do. Just do that, okay? Sand writes in regarding the oil spill. "Mike, it's almost as if Mother Earth is trying to tell Obama something. First the mining disaster, now the offshore explosion. Obama's advocating for clean coal and offshore drilling when there are two free, clean, sustainable sources for energy, wind and sun. I hope you will hear Mother Earth soon. Forget about the prayer get-togethers with religious freakazoids." Yeah, me too. Barack Obama going up to meet the Graham crackers. That's incredible. Billy Graham and Franklin. Yeah, that's what Irish Dave calls them, the Graham crackers. because Barack thinks he's going to get some points, the zombie freaks, the ones that believe in the risen dead Jewish zombie and all this other crap, will look at that and say, "Hey, he met with the Graham crackers. Well, I'll be damned. Well, maybe he is a Christian." No, he's a Muslim from Kenya. Crazy bastards. Roberto Rodriguez, an assistant professor at University of Arizona, just wrote the piece titled "Arizona, This is What Apartheid Looks Like." In the piece, it says this: those who think there's an immigration crisis in Arizona are correct. However, this is but part of the story. The truth is, a civilizational clash is being played out in the same state in which the state legislature questions the birthplace and legitimacy of President Barack Obama, and where Senator John McCain competes with Senate hopeful J.D. Hayworth to see who is the most anti-immigrant. It's also the same state that several years ago denied a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr., and today permits virtually anyone, on the basis of trumped-up fear, to carry concealed weapons anywhere. Yeah, and that's just 1% of it, right? Dear God, I would be hightailing it out of Arizona. Don writes, wanted to share a letter to the editor that I sent Arizona Republic. With the passage of Prop 102 in 2008 banning gay marriage, Arizona voters indicated that discrimination is acceptable, as have so many other states. It is hypocritical now that the light of discrimination has fallen, as it always will, on the next target for people to protest the recent passage of the law requiring proof of citizenship. It is naive to think that discriminatory practices will be reserved for any one group. The people have spoken. Discrimination is acceptable. When that unpleasant light swings your way, don't be surprised and don't complain. Live with it. And if you're not prepared to live with it, you better fight it when it first raises its ugly head against anyone. Don. Yeah, isn't this what the German theologian, Pastor Niemöller, wrote about? First they came for the socialists, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't a socialist. And the trade unionists, I didn't say anything. I wasn't a trade unionist. You know that bit. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything because I'm not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there's nobody left to speak for me. Well, sure, of course this is the way it works. Of course this is the way it works. And then there's this. Steve in Seattle sent this to me. In Phoenix, somebody smeared refried beans in the shape of a swastika on the state capitol's windows. More protests were planned Monday, today, after thousands gathered this weekend to demonstrate against a bill that will make it a state crime to be an illegal immigrant in Arizona. Refried beans smeared into the shape of a swastika. Oh, man. Isn't that what you find, this sort of thing, in a dying empire, or an empire that will soon die, when the National Socialists in Germany did this? It only took about 10 years from the advent of their murderous discrimination against various groups until the dear leader, who had planned a thousand-year Reich, put a gun in his mouth and blew his brains out. Wow. Something about Hitler's suicide and potential of a Glenn Beck suicide, that just, there's a resonance there, you know? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop.
news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Blue's been holding on for about 45 minutes. He's in Jakarta, Indonesia. Hey, Blue.
Selamat, Mike.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Hang on just a moment.
Sure.
I'm going to move to a quieter corner here.
All right.
The people are very friendly here, at least in the daytime. I don't know that I'd want to go strolling about here after dark, but...
You're in Java, the island of Java?
Right.
Right.
Jakarta, which is the northwest tip of Jakarta, of Java.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the old quarter of Jakarta. It's called the Kota, or Kota.
Mm-hmm.
A place called Kelly Basar. And I'm having a coffee right here by the old chicken market bridge and watching the people go by, and it's a wonderful day, and I'm enjoying myself.
Well, good. Well, good.
I hope you're doing the same.
Oh, yeah, we're just doing great. We're breathing a lot of pollen and dodging tornadoes, but other than that, we're doing fine.
Well, I haven't been listening, of course, except a bit, you know, while I was holding, I was able to hear some of the show.
Right.
And it sounds like more good news from the good old US of A.
Oh, yeah. We're just a font of good news.
But, Selamat, mate. Yeah, hold on. In any case, I was reading a series of articles the other day about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them in Melbourne Age and some of the other publications in Australia. And hello, Ethia, are you there?
Yes.
Oh. And I was reading about something that I've never heard you speak about it. Of course, I haven't been listening for more than a few months. But
mm-hmm.
It seems that prior to the attack on 9/11 and then for some time after that, you know, there was this anthrax thing that was going on.
Right.
People, I think, mostly Democrats in your Congress and people like, Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and people like that were getting anthrax.
Mm-hmm.
And the thrust of this article was that sometime before the attack took place and for some time afterwards, a lot of the folks that might have been able to identify this stuff, where it came from and, you know, who made it and so on, were dying off under mysterious circumstances. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, it's a topic that we've covered quite a bit, but over, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, because it's been so long now, we just recently, the FBI said that the case is now closed, that a person who... committed suicide. I believe it was someone who committed suicide who was a scientist at Fort Detrick. I think I've got these details right. Fort Detrick, New Jersey, is the place.
It's in Maryland, actually.
Or Maryland. I'm sorry. Fort Detrick, Maryland, is where all the bio warfare agents are developed by the U.S. government, even though that's in violation of treaties that we've signed. And weapons grade anthrax, of course, is one of them. So. This stuff had, and again, this is, yeah, we've talked about this many times, the genetic footprint, if you will, of the anthrax that was sent to people was exactly what was found at Fort Detrick or in these weapons labs. And the conclusion was drawn, first of all, they accused somebody several years ago and went so far as to almost indict him, I believe. This is so long ago. And it's one of those stories in this country that has just been deep sixed and forgotten about. But he was found to be innocent of the charges. And then recently, this man who committed suicide, it was decided that, no, it was him or something to that effect. It's hard to keep all this nonsense straight. But you're right about back in the early days after the attack. After the mailings, there were people who might have had information who had the alarming habit of turning up dead.
According to the article I read, some of these folks turned up dead under strange circumstances even before 9/11.
Indeed.
So, and in fact, some of the most important researchers and some of the people that could have identified this stuff right away having come from Fort Detrick.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the anthrax that came out of there was what was used to send to the Democrats in Congress and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff wasn't just floating about. I mean, you couldn't just go out and buy that
on
the street.
Right.
So that it had to have been somebody who had, you know, pretty good connections.
Right.
And they all conveniently turn up dead.
Well, the prevailing theory amongst a number of us in this country is that this was a Dick Cheney operation. Of course, you'll never find his fingerprints on it. But Dick Cheney is a loathsome creature who, you know, as far as mass killing and torture and invading countries on the slimmest of pretext, if any pretext at all. And as far as sending anthrax, that's just an afternoon's adventure to Cheney. Hey, Blue, I have to leave it there, pal. Thank you. I'm sorry I held you on hold for so long, but we'll chat again. Take care, Blue. Take care. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Short to listen to right-wing radio, here's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Eric in Canada writes, Mike, what they have in the Gulf is called a blowout. The pipe is broken off on the seafloor, and it's very difficult to control this type of oil release. Imagine an oil well blowing oil like we saw in Iraq, but underwater, under high pressure, with 1,000 barrels a day coming out of a broken pipe. With wreckage on top of it. This will all be submersible work. What a mess. Eric in Canada. All right, well, I think it's time now. We've had her on hold for an hour and 18 minutes. Marge! Where's Marge? Where is she, Kathy?
Kathy.
There she is. Hi, Marge.
All of my fellow truth seekers, you don't know how good it was to just think about you guys after I've been in here for a while.
Yeah, what made you think about him?
Well, I wasn't feeling good. And when I thought about you guys,
yeah.
I started feeling good.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And did your son tell you you got some cards?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
He's collecting them already.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know what the hell happened to you, and I had a bunch of people email in and said, where's Marge? Did she turn into a Republican?
God.
And
a vampire.
I said, I have no earthly idea. And we were about to call your house. As a matter of fact, I think the day that your son emailed us and said you were in hospital, we, you know, Kathy said, well, we ought to call her. And so that was on the table, and then we got the email from your son. How you feeling?
I'm still feeling, which is good. You know, as opposed to not feeling, which
is... Yeah, that would be not good.
There's let me see if I can sum this up for you.
Okay.
There's two commercials. One is kind of new one for Pedigree dog food,
mm-hmm.
where this little chihuahua sticks his face in the camera and says, I'm an optimum pooper. Now hold that thought, and you remember the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah,
you know, from Up from the Ground, from the Bumble and Crude.
Up from the Bound came a Bumble and Crude.
Yeah, well,
no, Jed said we're. I remember that.
That's what I've been doing a lot of.
You discovered oil at your house?
Well, not exactly oil, but
okay. Too much information, Marge.
Let's just think of bubbling.
Oh, bubbling. Oh, good.
You
yeah,
know,
okay.
An optimum pooper, and let it go at that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. I'm more than happy to let it go. So how long...
But I came in here
Yeah.
With a bone infection in both heels that hurt like a...
A bone infection?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it had open wounds.
Oh, well, that sounds pleasant, too.
Doesn't it, though?
Good God, what part of you is working?
My mouth is still working.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess that'll... that'll all...
And, you know, and then after a day of that, they... what is it? Atrib, something. And they started giving me stuff for my heart and my breathing and like that.
Oh, it went to war against each other?
One got to work in order for the other to function.
And what's it called? Atrial something or?
Yeah, atrial fib.
Atrial.
Something where the top of the heart starts, is not functioning properly.
Yeah, well, we Kathy knows about that.
Yeah, I heard you mention something. Is she all right?
Yeah, she's going in Thursday to have a wire put in her heart looking for Dick Cheney. Hello?
Anything to do with heart and Dick Cheney do not, you know.
I know. No, she has to have a little procedure. It's not like being ill like you are. So what,
So be sure and send an email to Rick so he could follow up because I don't know when I'll be able to get back to you. What?
Well, I was going to ask you, how much longer are you going to be in the hospital?
Beats the hell out of me.
Yeah?
Because, tomorrow they're talking about scraping a little bit on the bottom of my foot. And, you know, and making sure my circulation is good.
Yeah.
And then there's something called, what is it called? Not.
Does it have to do with a body part that we don't want to know about?
No.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with skill care. That's what I was looking for. I'm going to be here for a while.
You're going to be?
Or be someplace for a while.
Oh, intermediate care?
Yeah, it's skill care is what they call
skill
it.
Skill care, okay. That sounds
hey,
like...
Hey, listen.
Yeah?
A thing for your folks that may be interested in such stuff.
Yeah?
It's called Eden Care. It was a little tiny book written by a Dr. Thomas where they treat people in skill care and places like that with companionship of puppy dogs and kitty cats and birds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And planting flowers and like that. It's a real neat thing. From what I know of it, it sounds like it. I would hardly recommend it.
Are you going to get a dog?
I don't know. Not my own.
Well, I mean at this place you're going to where they have dogs.
I might be able to play with one, but it's not going to be mine.
Well, if they suggest you play with snakes, just say no.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to warn me about that. I don't like snakes.
All right. Well, how's everything else? I mean, besides this bone thing and the heart thing and the lung thing and the other thing, is there any everything else is still working okay?
Well, like I said, the mouth is working, and yeah. I think the Cubs won yesterday. So, you know, all's right with the world. What the hell could I tell you?
Yeah, that's true.
And God love my truth seekers and their goofy, half-assed, crazy cards. I can't tell you how much I love it for it.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad people responded. Hopefully you'll get a few more. I might give your address again just for the halibut out at your son's house in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That might be fun to do. All right. Well, listen, call in anytime.
Yeah.
And we'll put you on hold so you can listen to some of the show because I know they won't let you listen in a regular
hospital.
Yeah,
well, I love you for it. And Kathy, you take care now. You let me drop me a postcard and let me know what you're doing.
We'll do it.
So, and send me, I got your address someplace at home, but I don't have it here.
Well,
so,
that's
so put it on someplace so
okay.
I can write you back.
Okay, I'll do it. All right, Marge, behave yourself.
Yeah, well, love you too. Take care.
Watch out for Republicans.
Oh, God, if there's any running around, do I have your permission to shoot him in the foot?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just go ahead. All right, Marge. All right, thanks a lot
You're
for
good.
Calling. All right, sweetie.
Be good.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. You take care and get well. Marge! All right, if you want to send Marge a card, I gave this last week. I'll give it to you again. Write it down. You send it to her in care of her son, R.J. Johnson. R.J. Johnson. And his address. Do you have it up on the website? Oh, you do? All right. Well, just go to MikeMalloy.com, and it's up there. R.J. Johnson on 19th Avenue in San Francisco. Just go to MikeMalloy.com. There's the address. Send Marge a card. And the cynical, the better. Marge likes those real weird cards, you know, the kind where it has, you know, like a naked guy inside or whatever. You know, Marge loves cards. Who doesn't? I mean, when you're in there with a bunch of things that the docs have to deal with, she'll be fine. That's what her son says. She's tough as nails. Michael is in the Bronx, New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How you been, man?
I'm all right. I thought you left the country.
Oh, no. Just had a hectic schedule. Just to keeping my eyes and ears open to the stupid Republicans and the crap they've been pulling.
Yeah.
And the latest thing, this Arizona immigration thing.
How about that?
Let me tell you, it is racial profiling.
No.
Front and center.
No.
You know, it's no doubt about it. Because look at it this way.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any checks on Canadians, Irish, Scottish, because those are pretty much Caucasian. And they kept saying about Mexicans this, Mexicans that. I mean, what's going to happen is they're going to stop and question people of color because just they look, what's that word, illegal. And they'll stop the legal immigrants. They even stop the U.S. citizens such as myself. Now, there's three aspects to this. Number one, and I don't know if you have touched base on this. Excuse me. The first thing is this could be a repeat of Florida 2000 and Ohio 2004.
Yeah.
We remember they knocked off minorities from the voting rosters just to steal the election.
Uh-huh.
Arizona could repeat this, repeat history in 2010 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
The second aspect is that about 5 to 10 years ago, I took a flight to California to be on a game show. The game show was the weakest link, but nonetheless, it was a nonstop flight. And I was reflecting on that earlier today. And I know that sometimes planes have to make emergency landings in unscheduled places.
Right.
So with this kind of law, can you imagine somebody like me, a black man, I'm dressed in corporate casual clothes, I'm on the flight, the thing just happens to land in Arizona, and then you got these crazy-ass cops that want to turn around and snoop around. They turn around and look at me, and then they say, you look suspicious. You look illegal. I don't have my birth certificate. Who the hell would carry the birth certificate around them?
Yeah, that's the point, Michael, and that's going to happen, and it's going to happen to a lot of people. Hopefully this will be settled very quickly in the courts. But there's a lot of white people out there who now feel that they have a license to do anything they want to do. Michael, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Don't be a stranger. Damn it. Call once in a while. Before the hour, here's an email. Love to Marge from France. All right. Nobody's on hold? Huh? Oh, okay. Oh, there is. We just don't have... Okay. Ed sent this to me. Ed Kent. The U.S. is supposed to have a religion day in the near future. A religion day? I hadn't heard of that. As most claim the U.S. to be a Christian country, it is a bit ironic that of all the Western religions, Christianity has been the most murderous, prejudiced against others, and cruel. We have a fourth of the world's prisoners in our jails. Poverty and wealth both are growing and dominating our economy. I was once ready to go to war for my nation, but I'm increasingly ashamed of its actions. The Iraq War, which distracted attention from what could have been a restored Afghanistan, where we are now once again killing innocents, both on the ground and from on high. The U.S. leadership has not caught on to the change from military to economic might, which is now running our world. No jobs in the U.S. China and other nations have stolen them away. The rich are either spared taxes or hide their wealth in other nations. Some people have a dozen homes or more, while others are increasingly homeless, short of food and medical care. I wonder whether we shall start burning witches again, i.e. homeless elderly ladies begging for help. Such would do what the Republicans seem to want with our budgets. Don't spend on those who most need help. I can't understand how we could have produced such a political party of no to all humane things, the Republicans. Reminds me of Mussolini's fascism. Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. None. And they are going to send Obama packing. Yeah. Obama is God's curse on the United States. But you know what? In 2012, we are going to send him packing. We are, because God is a Texan, and he'll do what we implore him to do. There you go. Andy is in El Paso, Texas. Hey, Andy.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Yeah. I'm looking at you on the video stream. It doesn't seem to be working right, you know. So I'm
I think that's your computer.
My right? Click.
Huh? What?
But anyhow, I don't know, hopefully it's a little better. But
what?
I love watching on this, man, because...
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you do. I'll tell you what, Andy, have a pot of coffee or two and then call us back, pal. I mean, I appreciate it, but... Keith is in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Fair to partly cloudy.
Indeed. Great to finally talk to you. I would say about your radio show that it soft soaps the issues less than any other I've ever heard.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Thank you.
And it was a few weeks ago, I think, that there were a couple of crazy people that were talking on your radio show.
Yeah.
One of them was a caller, and he was talking about the chemtrails.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, that's obviously insane. The other guy who's crazy is the president of Iran, who frequently says crazy things.
Yeah.
But you reported that he said something that seemed like the sanest thing in the world to me.
And that was?
It was calling for an investigation of the events of September 11, 2001.
Right.
Which I never call 9/11. That's like a trademark.
Right,
you know,
it is.
Act of 9/11, you know, come on.
Yeah.
And I think that the official story is complete baloney.
Uh-huh.
And like sliced 1,000 ways. There are 1,000 reasons that that's not what happened.
That's true.
And I think that fraud has been really the defining characteristic of all the United States administrations during and since.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that there has been, and I assume will never be, any investigation of this lie really casts total, you know, casts into doubt the legitimacy of the United States government.
Well, do you think there ever will be a real investigation?
Well, I doubt it. I think that it's absurd, and I think that if you it's like the baloney of God. It's like the baloney of theism. I mean, if you believe this nonsense, there's a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you cheap.
Right.
You know, the story is absurd.
Right.
Everything about it. I don't think 19 Arabian guys with box cutters did it. I think that this was perpetrated. This was an overt action by what you call the Bush-Cheney crime family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Obama's frankly in cahoots if he's not going to investigate it.
Well, I don't know if I don't know how an investigation of that sort would work, whether it's up to the president to impanel a group or whether I think it's up to Congress. But I'm not sure since they hold the purse strings. I guess there could be a presidential a commission. I'm just not sure. That's something worth checking into, though. Hey, Keith, there's some music. We're out of time, pal. Thanks for checking in. I hope to hear from you again. Thanks a lot. And thank you for tuning in tonight. We do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.